and happy Monday. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. This week had a little bit of everything. Satellite issues, wireless packaging, digital divide progress, and a reminder that some of the industry's biggest problems still involve old infrastructure. So first of all, there was a lot of satellite broadband news in the past week, so let's start there. There's an ongoing debate over how much flexibility the NTIA should or shouldn't give to SpaceX and their Starlink service in the BEAD program. Late last month, 21 Democratic members of the House of Representatives sent a letter to NTIA Administrator Ariel Roth, urging her not to change BEAD rules in ways that would benefit SpaceX and its Starlink service. The lawmakers argued that SpaceX is seeking major concessions, including a looser definition of standard installation, more favorable testing treatment, lax speed requirements, and earlier payment terms that would shift risk away from Starlink and toward the BEAD program. The backdrop here is that Starlink already has a large footprint in BEAD provisional awards. Connected Nation statistics showed roughly $733.5 million in provisional awards made to Starlink across 45 states and territories, tied to more than 472,000 broadband serviceable locations. So this is an important dispute over whether a major player and also a major threat to many traditional broadband providers gets to renegotiate the terms of BEAD after already becoming so deeply embedded in the program. Now, that story landed alongside another NTIA move focused on satellite and launch activity, but from a very different angle. NTIA said it created a new Space Launch Frequency Coordination Portal designed to make the process for commercial satellite launch providers seeking spectrum approvals faster and more transparent. Up to now, evidently, that process had largely been handled through email, which was criticized as being far too slow. The new portal is meant to streamline access, especially for S-band spectrum. The NTIA tied the move to the Trump administration's push for a faster launch cadence and better launch communications. This is all part of federal agencies trying to remove friction from various endeavors related to broadband, especially when it comes to satellite broadband. Meanwhile, the satellite market itself continues to make a case that it wants to be seen as more than a last resort. Motorola Solutions and T-Mobile announced a partnership this past week to bring satellite connectivity to Motorola's APX Next smart radio for first responders. The radio has already worked across LAN mobile radio, 5G, and Wi-Fi, and now they also could connect through T-Priority and T-Satellite. Those are T-Mobile services that use Starlink's direct-to-cell network. Motorola and T-Mobile said their partnership will extend coverage, add capacity, and improve speeds for first responders. For the broadband industry, this was another example of satellite moving into a practical resilience role for when traditional terrestrial connections become unavailable or unreliable. At the same time, a new Ookla report suggested that satellite broadband, and Starlink specifically, continued to gain ground while the broader digital divide picture also improved. Ookla reported that in the second half of 2025, the gap between urban and rural users with access to 100 over 20 broadband narrowed in 43 states. 13 states reached the point where 70% of their Ookla speed test users had access to 100 over 20 service, up from just 5 states in the first half of the year. Connecticut, New Jersey, and Delaware ranked at the top, while Montana posted the biggest annual improvement in fixed broadband availability. Starlink also showed strength, especially in Nebraska, where more than 58% of its subscribers received at least 100 over 20 service, and that percentage was up sharply from the first half of 2025. One especially interesting detail from the report was that rural Starlink users outperformed urban users in 29 states, while in a handful of states, the service actually had more users in urban areas than rural ones. That is a useful reminder, in case you needed one, that satellite is quickly becoming part of a more mixed competitive picture. From there, let's move to consumer broadband and wireless packaging, where the industry kept trying to make bundles feel easier and cheaper. Mint Mobile rolled out a new bundle that combines unlimited wireless and 5G home internet for $45 a month. Now, there's a catch with that. Customers do have to pay the full $540 upfront for a 12-month term, and auto renewal is required. But still, the offer stood out to me. Mint said the package included unlimited wireless on T-Mobile's 5G network, 5G home internet, no equipment fees, no technician visits, and a 5-year price lock. It's no surprise, I think, that Mint Mobile's offer came within 2 weeks after AT&T introduced its own bundled plan, which I talked about last week, although AT&T's package paired wireless with fiber rather than fixed wireless, and came in at a higher entry price. The two plans for Mint Mobile and AT&T suggest to me that the trend isn't just selling speed, but offering convergence, which means a cleaner bill, a single network, and a locked-in price. On the business side of wireless, Cisco published its first State of Wireless Support and made the case that enterprise wireless has evolved into a strategic growth engine, with gains showing up in employee productivity, customer engagement, and revenue. The report drew on a survey of more than 6,000 wireless professionals worldwide and concluded that organizations that prioritized wireless were seeing significantly higher business value than those that did not. The company also framed Wi-Fi as foundational to an enterprise environment increasingly made up of a mix of people, AI agents, and automated systems operating together at machine speed. The Cisco report suggests that wireless investment is being pulled into broader conversations about digital transformation overall. This week also brought a noticeable transaction in the broadband broadcast convergence space. Edgebeam Wireless announced that it will acquire the Broadspan distribution platform from Sinclair in a deal that it expected would accelerate its deployment by multiple quarters and give it a national-scale data distribution infrastructure. The acquisition included Broadspan's software suite and core engineering team. Edgebeam said the combination would help turn high-power broadcast towers into scalable data distribution networks by pairing ATSC 3.0 capabilities with broadband-style provisioning software and partner infrastructure. That is a specialized part of our market, of course, but it's worth watching. The takeaway here is that hybrid delivery models have room to grow where scale, efficiency, and avoiding congestion all matter. Now let's turn to digital divide efforts at the state level, where this week brought a pair of stories that are refreshingly concrete, and frankly, they're my favorite because they're just feel-good stories. In California, the state connected the first community to its large open-access middle-mile broadband network, and that first beneficiary was the Bishop Paiute Tribe. The new service came through a 423-mile segment of California's middle-mile broadband network that runs from Barstow to the Nevada border along Highway 395. California's announcement noted that it upgraded dormant fiber infrastructure into a high-capacity backbone serving rural and tribal communities in the eastern Sierra Nevada region. The Bishop Paiute Tribe already maintained a privately owned broadband service provider, so it will independently manage operations, pricing, and service offerings for households on and off the reservation. California officials described the connection as an example of partnership with tribal communities and said the broader network would create more affordable and reliable options as additional ISPs connected to it. For a state middle-mile project that has drawn enormous attention, getting the first community online was an important symbolic and operational milestone. In Massachusetts, the focus was on devices, but the goal of connectivity was similar. The state said it would distribute 26,368 laptops, tablets, and desktop computers to more than 200 organizations statewide as part of a program run by the Massachusetts Broadband Institute. The initiative also included more than 20,000 pieces of supporting equipment like monitors, assistive technology, and remote patient monitoring tools. The organizations receiving equipment included nonprofits, hospitals, libraries, and groups serving youth and older adults. Devices were expected to be used in public settings like schools and learning centers or through lending programs with a particular focus on gateway cities and rural communities. Program leaders also pointed to free AI training offered through a partnership with Google, underscoring that device access is being tied to skills and workforce opportunity, not just hardware distribution. And it seems that everybody's sort of getting the message here that digital equity is the next logical step after access. Finally, one story this week was a reminder that while the industry talks constantly about fiber builds and fixed wireless growth and satellite innovation, all this new technology, some operators are still dealing with a very physical and very expensive legacy problem, which is copper theft. AT&T highlighted the scale of that issue in a blog post this past week. The company said losses from copper theft exceeded $82 million last year. And in California alone, there were more than 7,300 incidents producing losses above $54 million. This matters to the broader broadband industry for obvious reasons. Theft can damage networks, disrupt service, delay transitions, and create repair and replacement costs that no operator wants to absorb while trying to fund next-generation upgrades. And that's the news from the past week. Lots of work being done that favors satellite broadband, alongside some good news for people from California and Massachusetts. For me, the biggest takeaway for broadband providers is making sure you're keeping your eye on what this week's news suggests is a double threat. First, from national providers like AT&T and Mint Mobile with their new offers that combine wireless and home internet services. And second, the increasing specter of satellite broadband providers. Now is the time to make sure you know how to differentiate yourself from your competition. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we mentioned today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. And thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.